And it is Thursday on this great day, July the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. And I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO Radio. And being a Thursday, guess what? It's Ruminations. And with us, we have our good friend, Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Pastor Wes.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Yourself? How's the weather?
Oh, well, it's just peachy. Great. Oh. With the family, great with the world. Everything's just wonderful.
I thought you corn, not peaches there.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I just picked the way home so that my wife could have, she loves to have her sweet corn.
Oh, great, great. In fact, pick me some up. I guess I'm preaching at your place in September again, right?
That's right. There may be still some yet there on the roadside.
Well, as I indicated to the folks, today we've got a kind of a special broadcast because you have just returned from a youth event run by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Is that correct?
Oh, my gosh, yes, yes.
Can you tell us a little about it and try and bring in some help for congregations in reaching out to youth?
Well, this particular gathering, of course, was down in San Antonio, Texas, and its theme was live, love, or live, loved. And it comes out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. By this, the love of God was made clear in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So it's a talk about how love is lived in us through Christ's death and resurrection. And then yet, on the other hand, is how can we take that love out there into the world? We had roughly 22, somewhere between 22 and 27,000 kids and adults.
You mean 22 or?
It was just a sea of kids with their blue backpacks walking around San Antonio.
27,000?
Just a wonderful event, I think, to take our kids, our teens to. They have at these things what they call, they call them interest centers. You know what an interest center is?
No.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Okay, keep on going. Wes.
Hello, Tom?
Yeah, Wes can't hear me. Can you hear me, Wes?
Yes.
Okay, I wonder what was wrong there.
Yeah, you went dead. Where did we leave off at?
Intercessors.
Interest centers, yes. An interest center, you know, if you're over the age of 50, would be a class, a workshop, a seminar, you know, sort of thing that you would go to. It lasts for about an hour, and it covers a wide range of topics.
Uh-huh.
Like one of the topics that my kids went to was, how do you decode parents?
How do you do what?
Decode.
Oh, decode. I thought you said decult.
Yeah. In other words, how do you learn their language?
Boy.
And it was good. They came back and they said, you know what? First impression was, you don't talk back to your parents. I said, okay. But one of them sat down and talked to me. He said, you know, what we learned was when you're having your differences, you just don't raise your voice. You talk in a calm voice. And you talk things out. You talk to one another, you know, and things of that nature. They come to a little bit of understanding of what parents go through and how they look at life and taking care of the kids and bringing them up in the faith and things like this. It opens up their eyes in many respects like that. So, you know, they get these kind of classes where they share that with one another. They talk to other kids a little bit. And
so how would you fit that into a congregation setting?
How would I fit that in a congregation setting?
Yeah, how would you mimic it in a single congregation?
Well, one of the things we did with our kids before we went down is it was a required workshop that they go and help with VBS for the week that we were there, that they become involved in the congregation. And that worked out really well. They grew spiritually having that week of VBS, which we covered some of the thematic things of the youth gathering. And then when they come back, one of the things that we're doing is, in particular, we're having a fish fry for the congregation, the youth and the adult leaders. And they're going to walk them through some of the things that they learn. Especially, and you bring up a good point, one of the things that I especially do with my youth is I sat them down before we got home and I said, you know, name me three things that you learned or, you know, you're coming away with from this conference, this youth gathering that's helpful for you or the congregation or for your parents. And, you know, they had to think about it for a while, but I said, you know, people are going to ask, how does this fit? One of the parents came up to me and said, the kid has talked nonstop for the last 48 hours.
So there is a difference that occurs among some of the youth that go to these events.
Oh, all five. We had five that we sent out. All five parents were sent. They spent time talking. In fact, I've never seen that since I've been there, but one of the youth came to my office on Monday afternoon and sat down, and we talked for about a good 45 minutes about some of the things that they had seen, some of the things that they had heard, some of the things that had happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I had done later in my ministry is I enjoyed taking out a number of youth, say, to McDonald's or something, just the pastor and the youth, no parents or anything, just to have some discussion and such, because we definitely want to give the youth the impression, which is true, that the pastor is as interested in their spiritual welfare as he is in their parents.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I think you bring up an excellent point there, and that was something that I really saw with the five that I took there. They really believed that somebody was taking an interest. Which, by the way, you know, I made a mini report in my Sunday Bible class, and there were a number of them raised their hands that are adults now that had gone to previous, and they talked about what a highlight it was for them in their lives to go down to one of these LCMS youth national youth gatherings and how much it impacted them. And some of them are very involved with our Bible class. You know,
if anybody would like to worship. Anybody so, would like to ask a question to Wes right now,
how does it impact?
You can call us at 314-821-0850 or a long distance anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Okay, I understand that you've written something also about Vacation Bible School?
Yes, we had just concluded Bible class a couple of weeks ago, and I just finished up my notes the other day.
What would be helpful for other congregations?
Well, I wrote up what I call were 10 hints for 4 to 5 day VBS, but my practical tips were down to about 4 or 5. And one of them especially was, of course, being a word, being God's word. Find ways to break that message of Jesus Christ in understandable but meaningful terms for the young people. For instance, I could have done a devotion with the kids, read a psalm, read some scriptures, tried to interpret it for them. But I took another approach, taking the lead of my VBS director, and had a puppet program. Had a couple of puppets talk to each other about the lessons that we were going to talk about and broke it down into terms that they could understand. And in particular, about inviting kids to VBS. And every day after that, we added a puppet. So by day four, we had 4 or 5 puppets, you know, talking to each other that we'd invite. And we always had the kids invite the puppets to come to VBS.
In fact, I think when I preached there not long ago, there were 6 puppets on your desk with a sign for me.
Yes, that said, "Welcome, Dr. Tom Baker."
Yes. I was going to use one of them in the sermon, but I thought better of it. I'm not a very good ventriloquist.
But the kids really took to that.
Yes, I can imagine.
The invitation to come to church, the fact that we're loved by God through Jesus. And one of the impacts of it was that Well, a couple of the kids went home that have no church home, and they said, we want to go to that church because they love us and Jesus loves us, and we want to go to their Sunday school. So, you know, we're looking to pick up some new families that way.
What made your Vacation Bible School unique in contrast to, say, other denominations in your area?
Well, the fact that we really do stress long gospel, and we don't shy away from the truth. I mean, I know what you're trying to hint at a little bit, but and the reason I laugh is because I had a mini controversy in my Bible class because some of them went to the other ones that the town was having, and they were going back and forth, and they were saying, this is the better one. In fact, my fifth and sixth grade class that I taught went from 5 to 12 kids in the course of 2 or 3 days. They just kept going out and bringing kids to bring them. Because we would open up the scriptures when things seemed to be different or at odds, I would take them to the Bible and say, "Okay, let's read this. And what does the Bible say?" You know, you often say that in your programs there in the Law of Gospel. We go by what God's Word has to say, and then let's follow that. And the kids just loved it, and they loved the fact that they were loved. You know, and as you said, the pastor taking out a few, in this instance, the pastor teaching a class and would follow them to their crafts, follow them to their snack area, follow them to their games, their singing, took part in their singing, you know, letting the inner child doing the crazy stunts that they do with singing, you know, shaking the hands and that. They loved it. They said, "Pastor cares about us."
I'm sure there'll be another youth event by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the future. I guess, what does it come around? Every 3 years?
3 years. Yeah, 3 years in July.
Do you think any of those five youth would want to return, or are they pretty well
set? Oh, my gosh, yes. In fact, all five said they wanted to come back, and three of them would come back as adult volunteers. Two of them would still be eligible to do that. And in fact, they're coming back and having talked to the kids in the congregation. We have now about a potential of about 20, 25 that want to go. You know, they're just all excited about it.
It gets somewhat expensive, though, because, you know, 23,000 kids, Motel 6 doesn't put them all up.
No, it, I think what we figure about a little over $3,000 a child it cost us.
Really? $3,000. Yeah. So I imagine there's some ice cream socials, car washes, things like that that they try and raise money for.
Right. Well, they do ice cream socials. They car washes don't go too big here. The big thing that often happens is they call it the flamingo run. You put flamingos out on somebody's lawn, and they're asking for a donation for their
Yeah, the reason I would not appreciate that is because who's going to feed them?
Yeah. Well, you could take out flamingo insurance.
Oh, okay.
Pay the church secretary a stipend, and they won't put the flamingos in your yard. So.
It reminds me of Oprah Winfrey on one of her shows. She gave a car to everybody, you know, who's in the audience. But she didn't give money for the taxes. The taxes were huge. And so people started complaining about the gift because it was costing them too much. So she ended up giving the tax money also.
But, you know, you bring up a point of the cost and the congregation. It's become a tradition. They've been doing it for over 20 years now.
Uh-huh.
And to them, it's like a gift for the children of the congregation, for our teens to go do something like this. And they come back and they talk to them about what's happened. So you get that intergenerational back and forth between the youth, the parents, the grandparents, the older adults that are in our congregation who get to hear the story of how they grew in the faith and what they learned, you know, about their faith and working with one another. So it's good in that relationship.
This isn't the first national youth group you went to, is it?
I've been sending them since 1986.
Well, how many have you yourself gone to?
I, in 86, I started sending youth groups from my congregations when I was out in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to work for the district in 1993, 95,
thereon.
In 95 happened to be San Antonio. I was attending them. So, you know, this was my first time being able to go as a pastor of a congregation with youth.
Where's the next one going to be held?
It will be in New Orleans.
Hmm. Well, and, a nice cool place during the summer.
Yeah, very hot.
No, it is.
But it has some very intriguing witness things. You know, it will be teaching. You'll be hearing us teaching kids about witchcraft, about horoscopes, and we'll be teaching them about fortune tellers and things like that, because that's an element that you run across in New Orleans.
You mentioned that they were, of course, doing some VBS. Were there any works of mercy projects?
Oh, at the
youth group.
Yes, yes. Ours wasn't able to get involved, but yeah, they had Habitat for Humanity. They would go out and clean sidewalks and help lawn, you know, rake lawns, paint buildings or sidings. You know, fix things. So they did. Another interesting thing that they did is they took a sock collection. Each youth group was asked to bring a packet of socks, whether adults or kids, and bring canned food so that they could do the food pantry.
Was there any worship? And if there was, how would you characterize it?
Oh, the worship was just outstanding. That was on the 4th of July. We had a communion service, and the main speaker, or the person who delivered the sermon, was our president, Matthew Harrison.
Oh.
And he broke it down into terms that they could understand. My kids walked away, as well as my adults, said, boy, we could understand everything. You know, that illustration that Luther has, when we come to worship, we have an empty sack, and when we leave worship, we have a full sack.
Hmm.
You know, in that sack we confess our sins, are given the forgiveness of sins. You know, we go to the Lord's Supper, the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith, grace, mercy, peace. We hear it in our lessons and our sermons, you know. Hmm. We leave with the peace of God and His blessing. You know, we fill it up, and then what Harrison said, it just really got him. He says, then we tie it in a knot, sling it over our shoulder, get outside. Somebody says something to us, and we go boing on the head.
Yeah.
And they all chuckled. And then he says, then we remind ourselves that we got to open it up, and we got to give out a little forgiveness.
Yes.
We got to give out that love of Jesus, whether for ourselves or for something that was said to somebody, that we said to somebody or they said to us, you know. So they walked away with that, and it just stuck in their minds. You know?
From a law gospel point of view, other religions would say you need to take a full sack to God.
Yeah.
In contrast to an empty sack.
Yes. Yeah. In our law gospel, we come with empty sacks, and it is God who fills us up.
You know, with as many thousands, there were sure a lot from this area. If anybody is listening right now who either attended it or has a question for Pastor Reimnitz, don't hesitate to call us here. St. Louis number 821-0850 and long distance 1-800-730-2727. And that latter number can also be phoned from even the St. Louis area. So, if you've got any questions for Pastor Reimnitz or any experience that you've had with the youth group, provide a couple of more insights as to how individual congregations can reach out to the youth in their neighborhood, particularly those that may not be attending the church.
Well, BBS is your Vacation Bible School is a good instance, because neighbors are talking to neighbors. And in my congregation, what I often see is grandparents are going out and getting grandkids if parents haven't been kind of bringing them to church.
Yes.
And they come in, and like I said, with the invitations that we were running through our puppets, the kids were going out and bringing in other kids. Of course, you have your, for us, we have a radio station, newspaper, and things like that. We can run them in. But the big thing was, and we would send home a daily newsletter, and the big thing was that we kept saying how much we loved having the kids. We would love to have them. If they didn't have a church home, they're more than welcome to come.
Sure.
Come in there. And what kind of happened is some of the parents started showing up towards the end of the week and joining in with the VBS with their kids.
Really?
Yes. I really was intrigued by that because we had worked on talking about inviting them in, and kids were inviting the parents. The parents wanted to come and see, and were a part of that. So
I did something like that with confirmation. I would run a 3-hour confirmation on Sunday or Saturday mornings, and the first 2.5 hours would be with the kids watching various movies of a religious nature, talking about the catechism, playing some games. But then at 11:30, a half hour before the end, we would have some pizza and invite the parents in, and then they would also play the games with the kids, have some pizza, and in other words, I'd also give the assignment for memory work to the parents to make sure the kids did it.
I like that idea. What we did is on Sundays we had confirmation after our last service this last year, and the parents would bring in a meal. We'd have a meal before we had confirmation. And I found it really, really effective to do it that way because while we were eating, I could talk to the kids about how their week went,
yep,
how the learning went, various things, before we got into the lesson. And boy, did they retain more. It was, I think the learning skills actually went up.
One of the biggest problems in most churches is after confirmation, there seems to be a slipping away of youth. Some go to college, some go to work, some get married. And these, what you're telling us today, would be elements that would attempt to keep the youth within the church itself in order that they could continue to be comforted with particularly a law and gospel message.
Right. I would agree. I mean, a couple of the youth that went on this gathering, I catechized, and it was interesting listening to them talk about things that they saw and they heard. And I knew that these were things that I had taught them in catechism the year before. And the current class that just got confirmed has done a pretty good job about coming to church, and their parents have been good about keeping them. It wasn't cooperation, graduation, we're gone. They come back. So, yeah, these types of events, your VBS, the National Youth Gathering, it solidifies that sort of thing going on.
And it gives them another opportunity to hear the same message from pastors and speakers that aren't their own pastor.
Oh, absolutely. That's an excellent point. It's another way to hear the same thing, only now it's not just pastor or my parents or my Sunday school teacher, but here are some others that are saying the same thing. And they enjoyed that, being around all these other. They said, man, we never knew there were this many Lutherans.
Well, Were you ever in one place at the same time, all 27,000?
No. Other national youth gatherings, I think the highest they ever had was 33,000.
Well, I'm saying when you were in Texas, when you had the worship, were all 27,000 in the same room?
Oh, yeah. They figured it was about 27,500.
Uh-huh.
All the singing was just out of this world. They had an orchestra that was comprised of college youth.